Good morning, church. Please put your hands together for Claire, who put that all together. And it is an exciting day because this is the day where we all can feel free that God wants to do something with our lives. And God wants to do significant things with our lives. It's a day where you can get excited and begin to ask yourself and question the Lord and say, Lord, what is it that you would have me do for you today? You see, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, Jesus came and told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And so what the Lord says to us is go. And when he says that, go to all the nations, he's talking about, because at that time, the Lord had just come for the people of Israel. And so he's saying, guys, I want you to change your focus to not just be on the people that are within this community that I came for, but to people from every people group and ethnicity on the earth. And so God, and so Jesus, through his relationship with God and God's relationship with humanity, has moved just beyond Israel to include people from every corner of the world who come to the Father through the Son. And so we know that Israel was God's chosen people. Why did he choose them? We don't know. He just chose them. But he's now saying, look, guys, let's expand our focus here that I've come for everybody. It's not just for them, but it's for the whole world. And so his command to us is to make disciples. And a disciple is someone who becomes like his or her master by living in a servant relationship to him. They learn from the master and submit to that person's example. That's what each of the 11 disciples, hearing this for the first time, had done in answer to Jesus' call. It is now that they'll invite others to participate in from around the world. Recall that in the early scriptures when he was calling the disciples, he says, come and I will make you fishers of men. So that was the come to me that Jesus was saying to the disciples. And so they came to him, but then now he's saying, guys, we're expanding this. Now I'm sending you out into the world. And so the primary work of the Great Commission, as this is what it's called, is to make disciples, which means the cooperative mentoring process we now refer to as discipleship. So it's a cooperative mentoring process. You're not forced, you know, otherwise that is subjugation. This is where you are willingly participating. And the one thing we know about disciples is that you can disciple people through books. You know, as you read a book, oh, I like what this person is saying in the book. You know, I'll follow them. And you start following them on Twitter or on Facebook, on YouTube, watching their videos. But discipleship is something about getting close to people, being within their vicinity. The people that are around you are the people that each and every one of us has been called to minister. So a disciple is somebody who you get close and personal with. And this is what the Lord is saying, because if you're going to teach them, you have to teach them by example. Not by just saying, this is what the Lord says, and then I go and do something different. It's actually about example. It is about wherever sphere you find yourself in, you are beginning to live the kingdom life. And what it's going to do is that it is going to come out from within you and begin to affect the people around you. So, I could be in a school, and I'm a teacher, and there is just something different about me. Now, that something different about me is because of the way that I relate to the Lord. I follow kingdom principles. I'm courteous, I'm kind, I love people. I'm no pushover, by the way. That doesn't mean you're a pushover. But you're just courteous, you're kind. There is something about your life. There is, you know, like a few years ago, in 2019, I walked into an elevator at the Dustin Hotel in the city. I flew in from Port Hedland because Noctula was in hospital. I get into an elevator, and there was a man in there, and I knew he was Middle Eastern, and the only way I knew that is because he was an Emirates pilot. So that was a good assumption to make. The whole elevator was filled with the fragrance of this man. Now I'm there next to him, and I'm like, oh, you gotta ask him, what is that cologne? What is that cologne? And so I mustered up the courage, and I said to him, you smell very nice. What is that cologne? And he said, it's Hugo Boss Oud. And he says, you can only get this one in the Middle East. Now, maybe it's the way that they make it. You know, it's very nice. It's a bit, maybe it's the long-lasting one. It's very potent because they use a bit of oil in it. And I was like, wow. And you know, like, the whole lift was filled with that fragrance. And that is what our lives should be like. Whenever we walk into a place, the way we do things, there's a fragrance about it. I will tell you this, that I did end up buying Hugo Boss Oud from the Middle East. I bought 3 bottles, by the way, you know. But my point is that the difference in our lives is the example that we live. How we conduct our lives, how we conduct ourselves in business, how we conduct ourselves with our families is the example that people will learn from and then say, I want to be like them. That does not mean that we are going for mannequins here or square people or people that are super perfect. That doesn't mean that at all. But it just means there's something about our lives that people gravitate towards. And you know, the scripture talks about, he says, go into all the nations. So we know, of course, he meant going to every country, every people group, X, Y, Z. But is it really possible for me, except now maybe with the internet, to actually go into every country, into every people group? Probably not. How many people have traveled outside of WA? Half of us. How many people have traveled overseas? How many people have been to the Republic of Zimbabwe? Yeah, and we'll go with my sister at the back there as well. Who's been to America? Brazil? The Amazon? The Amazon? Anybody been to the Amazon? No. Wow. So that's going. So that means that we can't be in all places at once. But what we can do is to look at this thing called nations differently and begin to look at it that we are in the world, which is this world we're in, but we are also in worlds. I love this. You know, I don't know why I love doing it this year. It's my thing. But we are in worlds. And what that means is that we are around a group of people in our circle of influence that God has placed us in. And this is what, when we take the principles of the kingdom living and kingdom speaking, all of a sudden is going to begin to affect things. Because that is why we then say, we hear Jesus say, I do what I see my Father do, or I do what he says I should do. So whatever we see our Father do, we begin to do. If there is an issue of healing required, guess what I'm going to do? I'm not just going to walk away and then expect somebody else to heal him. Even though I know I'm not the one who heals, I'm going to step into that and say, in the name of Jesus. It's not my name. It's in the name of Jesus. They're healed. So you see that when you go to your world with a different mindset, a mindset that I have been sent, that I am living, I've been put here on purpose, you go there with the aim of wanting to influence. So in Luke chapter 19, and the guys don't have that, so I'll just read. Luke chapter 19, there was a story of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 and 10. It says that Jesus entered into Jericho and he made his way through the town. And he came across, there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but because he was too short in stature to see over the crowd, he could not do it. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. Now, isn't it interesting that this guy must have heard about Jesus, that it intrigued him that much, that he wasn't so big in himself, that there must be something about Jesus' life that it's worth for me actually catching a glimpse of who this man is. And so he ran ahead, climbed the tree. It so happened that when Jesus came by, he looked up the tree at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." And so he climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner," they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Now, you must know that he says, "and if," he didn't say "I have." He says, "if I have cheated." So he had to prove that Zacchaeus had cheated you. "I will give them back four times as much." And so he responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham." Understand that this was an influential man, Zacchaeus. Very influential. And so the encounter that he had with the Lord transformed his life. And we know the reason why he was influential. He was not just a tax collector. He was the chief tax collector. So in Australian terms, he would be the commissioner of taxation. You're the top guy. The top guy. And so he has a change of heart as a result of his encounter with the Lord. And what did he do? "I'm going to give everything to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody, I'm going to give them back four times." This is what happened. So now you see that the nation of tax collectors has just been affected by the actions of one man. And so wherever we are placed, we can be like that chief tax collector, that wherever we go, we have the ability to influence it because of our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. As we will unpack next week about Isaiah, you'll find what he did when he responded to what the Lord did to him. This is what happens when we go to our nations, when we go to the places that God has placed us in and say, "I am there to influence this world." And so our focus, this scripture talks about make disciples and teach these new disciples to obey all my commandments. And that is the prerogative we've been given. You know, that's a command we've been given, and that's our focus for 2022 is going to be discipleship and evangelism. And you're probably asking, okay, what does that mean? I'll gladly tell you. It means that this year we started talking about connect groups and the importance of connect groups, about joining in with one another, studying the Word of God, getting deep in community with one another, loving the Lord together, doing life together, where we are growing our roots deep. So we're going to be for connect groups. Our next slide, thank you. Connect groups is our focus. And then we're going to encounter the Lord through worship. And how we do that is that we've scheduled 6 services this year where it's going to be called our Encourage service. And it's a service where there'll be extended worship. It'll just be a bit more worship, and they'll be operating in the spiritual gifts. And if the Lord permits and is willing, if he has words to speak over people, we'll give space for God to do what he needs to do. So we're going to encounter the Lord this year through worship. We're going to be deep in the Word. Together as a church, we are going to, and we've already planned this with our team, we are going to do devotionals together. So everybody, we do a devotional together, create a bit of chatter. But what we are trying to do is that we are trying to go deep. It's very important before you go up, you got to go down. Evangelism, our Easter service, is an integral part of what we do because it's an opportunity, because mostly some people only come for Easter and Christmas, and that's okay. We welcome them. And we're hoping that this year with our Easter service, this will be a time where you will openly invite your family and say, "Guys, this is a no holds barred, you know, come to the Easter service. Of course, you'll hear about Jesus. We've got a great speaker lined up for our Easter service, Pastor Charlie. If he hasn't traveled, but most likely it will definitely be him. You know why? There is a grace that is upon this man, a grace to connect with people in a very special way. And so whilst it would be nice for me to speak, I think that it's actually even better if he speaks, because he just has, it's a gift that he has to be able to connect with people. And so by God's grace, God willing, he will lead, you know, our Easter services here in Fremantle and in Wellard. And that is an important time where we would ask everybody that part of this focus on evangelism, which we'll unpack in the second half of the year, where there'll be just an evangelism drive, is to invite your friends. And I know that at the beginning of the year, we did say that, why would you get people to come? What would cause you to want to break down the doors to come into the service? We want this to be a place where you can freely invite your friends, because we are consistent in what we do. There's going to be great worship. There's going to be good speaking. And there's an opportunity for people to encounter the Lord. And so we are going to have that consistency throughout the year. And if ever you are praying for your family, this is the time to be praying in and saying, Lord, whatever you're going to do, this 22 is your year to do what you need to do. And so we're going to have those opportunities, those God moments, because we understand that one word or a whisper from the Lord can change a person's life. Yeah. I recall listening to a guy, you know, in Adelaide, and it was just where I was rededicating my life to the Lord, and man, he sang this song. There was just something about it when he sang it. There was a touch of God on the song. And the reason I know there was a touch of God on the song, because the next time the song was sung, I was like, that's a bit of an ordinary song. Because there's something about that happens when God breathes into something. Amen? And that is our focus. Discipleship, evangelism, not too complicated, straightforward. We know what to expect. We know what to pray into. We know what we need to do. We can participate. This is not the year to be idle and just to do nothing. This is the year of saying, Lord, what is it that you would like me to do for you? And also, it's a year of intimacy where we get to know and love the Lord more. And it's a year where we have to be bold, where we are not intimidated. Amen? Jesus, we go because of, he says, all authority has been given unto me. Now, this means the right and power to do something. So Jesus means that he has absolute right and all power to do as he pleases in heaven and on earth. So there is no authority in heaven which can call the will of Jesus into question, and there is no authority on earth that can call the will of Jesus into question. Nothing. I've got the power. Now, we are so glad that the Lord was very gracious in the way that power didn't get to his head. I don't know if it was me, I had all that power. I definitely would be saying to all those that jeered, that spat at me when I was going to the cross, I'll be sending down, you know, limestone and razor blades. I recall 20 years ago, no, 1998, I was in Malaysia. And I had the privilege of meeting the ambassador of Zimbabwe to Malaysia. He gave me his business card. So it highlighted what his name was. It had the emblem of the government of Zimbabwe. And then it said the words, Ambassador, Extraordinary, and Plenipotentiary. And those words, they really hit me. Wow, what does that mean? Extraordinary is that it's somebody that have some extremely good or special quality. And this is a person outside regular staff who is sent on a special errand, having special authority and responsibility. And this one, plenipotentiary, is it's the killer. It's a person who has full power to make decisions or take action on behalf of their government, especially in a foreign country. Plenipotentiary, you've got all the power. So you are there representing the government of your country, and all power has been vested in you. You can do deals on behalf of the government. You know, you can do things that are going to improve the lives of your people in the country. Remember that you only come as an ambassador so that you can further the interests of your country. Not your own interests, the interests of the country. So anything that's going to further the interests of the company, you get involved in that. And this is who we are. Jesus was extraordinary and plenipotentiary because he says all authority. And so we go because of the confidence that we have in his words. That ambassador can walk into the office of any ministry in the country that he's in based on the authority that was vested in him by his government. And so we're using that authority that we have to go in and to begin to make a difference in people's lives, in our business, in our family life, in our whatever it is that we're doing. We have that authority and we carry that kingdom assignment. And because we carry it, the way we speak is different. We got a different way of speaking. We got a different way of acting. And as we bring this to a close, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, to show you how important this was to the Lord, to further, I guess, cement what was said in Matthew 28, it says, and the title of that paragraph in my Bible says, we are God's ambassadors. And I'm just going to skip some. It says, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God, and if we're in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone, I've underlined here, everyone in my Bible, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view, and at one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. And how differently we know him now. And it's talking to us Christians, how differently we know Christ now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. If I can have Catherine hit the keys for us, please. And a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Other scriptures say this ministry of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. It's underlined in mine. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. In all that we do, because of our encounter with God, it is about how God is going to use us to begin to move in the lives of the people that he has placed around us. So we are not just ordinary people. We are extraordinary people. And we're just not extraordinary. We are plenipotentiary. We are people with authority. The question is that, are we going to operate and move in that authority? If all the ambassador did was nothing and twiddle his thumbs, they probably asked him, so what deals have you got for our country? Since you went to that country, have the relations between that country you're in and our country got better? The bilateral relations, have they got better? And if the answer is no, it's given the boot. He gets, and the word that they use is to say they get recalled. Come back home. You're useless. No, they don't say that. In the spirit of what I'm trying to do today, we don't use those kind of words. It's genuinely understanding that you are an ambassador, and not just that, you have a ministry of reconciliation. And so we are all workers in the vineyard of the Lord. It's not up to a special crew, you know, or the special forces. No, everybody, each and every one of us is a soldier. You know, there's that song that says, stand up for Jesus. Ye what? Because you don't know that song? No? What do they say? Ye soldiers of the cross. You guys don't know that song? No? Stand up for Jesus? Oh yeah, you know that song, eh? Yeah, ye soldiers of the cross. I'm starting to get a bit, oh, what's going on here? Didn't they teach us in Sunday school in Australia? Mr. Rockwell, please teach them that song. All of us are significant. And I really want to leave you with this, that you've been called and you have been given a ministry of reconciliation. Now, we can easily say to ourselves, I don't know. You know, the last time I tried to pray for somebody, nothing happened. Or, oh, woe is me. It is just me. I've had a difficult life. And all those things, I'm not poo-pooing those things. Those are, you know, it happens. Eh? People just, life happens to us. But you should not disqualify yourself. You have been given a ministry of reconciliation. And what I would like us to do is to ask the Lord to give us those God moments where He's going to whisper something and you are going to take action on the things that He has whispered. In Genesis, it talks about the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the deep. And then it says, and then God said, let there be light. And so you don't know what's happening, that something is hovering over somebody's life. And it's the words that you speak that when they are spoken in faith are going to cause an ignition in that person's life that changes their trajectory. Whether it's an errant child who's being a bit goofy and weird, you continue to pray, because guess what is happening? The Spirit of the Lord is hovering. The situation, it could be your finances, whatever it is, all of us have been given this ministry of reconciliation. And it's about us taking that upon ourselves. And what we're asking is that ministry is not for the special few. It's for all of us. And I thought about that song to think, what word can I just put for soldier to recognize our importance? It says, stand up for Jesus. And I thought, oh, what is a poor word I could use instead of soldier? I can't think of one, but you can fill the gap yourself. Ye soldiers, which tells us that we are a soldier is somebody who's capable, who's got training. And the funny thing is that, and the most interesting thing about a soldier is they've got the backing of their government. They're given all the weaponry that they need. They get the support to be able to go in and do shoot some people up. Not literally, you know. Well, literally, yes. You know, they're meant to do that. That's what a soldier's there for. But we can stand up for our families. Excuse me. We can take the authority. We can speak the word of the Lord Jesus and say, even though I never saw somebody being healed. And this morning I was looking at a prayer that this prayer app called Echo, And I put my prayers in there, and then I just pray them, you know, so that I don't forget what I'm praying for. I started this thing in 2018, and I started it when I went back home to Zimbabwe because my grandmother was ill, 36% heart function. And I said, Lord, 36%, that's better than nothing. Eventually, she passed away in November of that year. And as I was looking at this, I said, you know what? I am not going to be perturbed by the fact that she wasn't healed and that she died, because I still believe that you're a God that heals. And that's the thing. We are not taken aback by the words, by what happens in front of us. We continue to believe. We continue to take that, because remember, he says, all authority has been given to me, therefore go. So we are going, not in our own power, but in his power. And mostly, he says, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. There are people out there with problems that you and I can solve. I wouldn't be surprised if God is creating problems in somebody else's life so that you can solve that problem. It took, who was the guy who was told, Philip, it was Philip. He was told, run up and get into that cabinet, into the chariot, and he was able to explain the eunuch, you know, he was able to explain the scriptures to the eunuch. And guess what happened? He was obedient. He did that. I mean, there was some crazy stuff that happened in the Bible. Eh? You are in one place, you are in Fremantle, then the next minute you rock up in Wellard. Just like that, eh? Boom. There was some crazy stuff that happened in the Bible back in those days. It was all. So you can imagine that eunuch was a man of great authority and responsibility. As that scripture was opened up for him, that changed his family, that changed his nation. And this is the ministry that we've been given, of reconciling people back to God. You are going to be given God moments where he's going to whisper something to you. And the first thing you're going to do is to look back and say, who was that? But it's the Lord saying, I want you to go do this. Go lay hands on them. Go do this. And I want you to trust God in that moment. God is going to give you special skills for your business, where all of a sudden there are solutions, there are things that dumbfounded you. And all of a sudden you find the solution. Because it is the Spirit that equips us to be able to do these things. We have to. God moments are coming your way. And he's waiting, the Holy Spirit is waiting for you to utter words for something to happen. And so what I would ask, if you could all stand this morning as we finish. Is that we would wait on the Lord. Just like we wait for a bus, or a train. We wait on the Lord and we ask him, Lord, where can I go and make disciples of my nation? And you do this expectantly, just like you wait for a bus. You wait for the bus with the expectation that the bus is coming at 10:15. And it'll come, for sure. Transperth assures you of that. We're going to ask the Lord together. And I'm going to ask, my prayer is that, and our prayer is that God will give you courage to step into what he has for you this year. And I would therefore lastly ask that you would commit yourself to leaning into God and hearing his voice. So you lean in. If you hear, hello, 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 you do this. Ooh, did I hear correctly? You lean in to hear what he has to say. Because you are going to be entrusted with God moments that are not just going to, first of all, they're going to change your own life, but they're going to transform the life of somebody else. And so in 2022, we're going to go. Just as it is in green, we're going. We've been given the green light. He says go, so we're going. But in his power, and we wait until he says go. And this is why if you read Matthew chapter 28 verses 17, it says, they were told to go and wait for him, and they went. Let me just, look, we're finishing. But this is good. In verse 16, then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. So as you wait, you'll be given instruction. There is power in obedience. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for C3 Fremantle and C3 Wellard. And Lord, Father, we know that we commit, Father, our year to you. The year 2022, where our focus is discipleship and evangelism. Lord, that you have given us a ministry of reconciliation where we are reconciling people back to God. And Father, just as the words of the Lord Jesus Christ says, therefore go and make this. And the reason why we go is because you have all the authority and you have all the power. And therefore we go, Father, and we make disciples of all nations. And Lord, we're baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Jesus Christ. We baptize them and teach these new disciples to all the things that you have commanded. And so, Lord, I pray that this year you would give us courage to step into what we have for us. Lord, that this is a year, Father, we ask for God moments, that you would whisper to us. And Lord, give us the courage, Father, as we hear your whisper, we would step out in faith. Some are given dreams. Some are given visions. And as you get a dream from the Lord, as you get a vision, you have to step out in boldness, with wisdom, of course, seek the counsel seek the counsel of your connect group leader, of everybody around you. This is what I feel the Lord is saying, and step out. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord, we would grow deeper with you, that we would encounter you, that as we lean into you, Father, there will be God moments in our lives. And so, Father, in 2022, we go because your Son says we should go. In Jesus' mighty name, and everybody says, amen. We're going to sing a strong song, The Battle Belongs, and boom, we're out.